And for anyone wondering, the IHS actually refers to Jesus. It's a Latin thing about, like, I don't remember exactly, but Jesus is the savior kind of thing.
Right, yeah. Right.
Because in Latin, Jesus was spelled with an I.
Yup. Oh, God. Yeah. But the Chick Tracks, even if you don't know them, you know them because they're ubiquitous. They've been all over social media.
Especially if you're a Gen Xer or older and you actually remember when those things were being passed out all the time.
Yeah. It's, I think, like, the most famous one from, like, the photo is the, like, the guy, like yelling in there, and then the captions, they hated Jesus because he told the truth. And it's like, yeah. But, man, that is, I was not expecting Chick Tracks, but I am here for it. That, those things are, I remember back when it was really funny because, when I got on the internet, I was probably a bit older than most, like, people that were getting into Reddit, YouTube atheism. And I remember, like, Hugo and Jake were the two of the Reddit atheists I was following. I believe Hugo transitioned. I forget her name now and I apologize, but, they would read Chick Tracks. They would do that kind of stuff. That was a kind of a thing that was really fun for them. And there were a bunch of other atheists that I was following at that time. And then so many of them got into Gamergate and it was just like, oh man, what the fuck? You know, it was just so weird. I'd be like, okay, time to watch my favorite atheist dunk on some Christians and click on them. And they'd be like, you know, God sucks. You know who sucks even more than God? Anita Sarkeesian. And I'd just be like, what the fuck? What are we doing? No, stay on the God thing. And I guess that Gamergate engagement was just too much. People just couldn't resist it. It was just so wild. Yeah. Just,
you need your shekels, man.
Yeah. It was just so strange. I'm just sitting there. Like, come on, give me my dopamine hit. Let's dunk on creationism or the ark today. I want it. And they're like, nope. It's time to talk about how this woman's ruined gaming for all of us dudes. And I was, it was like, man, this is wild. This is where we're at now. Okay, I guess. Well, so yeah.
That's funny. I've been playing video games since I was a little boy, but, I never really cared much for any kind of online gaming community or anything. I'm just straightforward, you know, single player games. So I didn't know anything about Gamergate at all until it had already blown up and people were taking sides and, you know, families were splitting apart over and everything. And then I finally found out, I'm like, this is all about a bunch of incels being pissed off that girls play video games too. That's all this was.
Yeah, and that literally there were like a few women that were just
careers were ruined over this.
Right, and there was a woman who was just like, can we get a body type for a female character other than skinny waist, big boobs? Can there be female characters in video games who are not just a perfect 10 sexually across the board always?
And some game developers have apparently listened to that because every now and then I'll see some crybaby be like, this girl in this video game isn't hot enough for me. And I'm like, dude, there's a million and a half you can pick from. Every single woman you see doesn't have to give you a boner.
Yeah. It's like, every fancy woman needs to be smoking hot or I will be mad. Like, why? Why do you care? What is wrong with you?
Yeah, like I saw a guy complaining about Ciri in Witcher. I'm like, The Witcher? You mean a game where the main character sleeps with every third woman he meets?
If you walk into Geralt's field of vision, he's probably going to have sex with you. Yeah. I mean,
and I'm like, you're upset that game has one woman that isn't spank bait? I mean, come on.
Oh boy, yeah, it's wild. It's wild that this goes back to the whole thing about the victim mentality, about how we poor put upon conservatives, we have to deal with you liberals trying to kill us at all times. We have to deal with unfuckable video game ladies. I mean, just how can we deal? How can we coexist in a society where anyone of a dusky hue probably wants to put me to the sword just because I just want to make America great again. Why are you so mean to me? And then I get home and I play my video game and Aloy has stubble. And it's just like, this is unacceptable. It's like, and it's, I mean, if you played Forbidden West, Aloy's wearing some ridiculously revealing outfits. I'm sorry they didn't make her a perfect 10 for you. She's only a 9.8. You poor thing. Oh my God. It's just so funny how ridiculously butthurt all these people are and how the whole world has to revolve around them, or it's just not fair.
I think this victimhood too is part of like how Donald Trump wormed his way in because I've said this for a long time that I think Republicans prefer it when they're the minority party because they love presenting themselves as the plucky underdog fighting against the big mean liberal. And when they're in power, they're like, well, who am I supposed to stand up to now? I'm the man. I can't stick it to the man if I am. And then Trump comes along and he's like, I will show you how to be the most powerful human being in the world and still claim victimhood 24/7.
Exactly. Oh God.
It's like anybody who writes a story that is not completely like, you know, slaveringly flattering to him is fake news, very unfair, has horrible ratings. Everybody hates you. And I'm glad you're dead.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, Rob Reiner, maybe you would have lived if you weren't so mean to me. Maybe your kid wouldn't have killed you because I just, oh my God, these people, these absolutely ridiculous people.
I know. That's the other thing. He's not only he's the eternal victim, but he has to center himself in everything. Rob Reiner's death was about him. I saw him make Mother's Day about himself in a tweet once. It's just, it's pathological.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Yeah, it's the old quote about Theodore Roosevelt, the bride at every wedding, the child at every christening, the corpse at every funeral. Just that's what he wants to be.
Yeah, it's what a way to live.
Yeah, it's, yep, that's it. Oh boy. Yep, it's really magical. It's truly magical that this is where we're at. So speaking of magical things, the Virginia gerrymander is now heading up to the Supreme Court. I've heard like the fact that apparently it was supposed to be like passed by two separate Congresses in Virginia, so there is a mechanism for striking it down, but we will see what the Virginia Supreme Court does. The district court where the gerrymander bill originated from said totally cool. So
yeah,
this whole thing's moving, making its way through the courts as one does. And this has led our boy DeSantis, failed presidential candidate Ron DeSantis. He's now trying to jam through an illegal map in Florida. And everyone has said, buddy, like this actually won't work because Florida has a lot of rules about this shit. So, and the other thing is that if it does work, maybe it's going to backfire because if you've been looking at all like the polling about Hispanics and everything, it's getting pretty dicey for the Republican Party out there. Because it turns out that, you can't be quote unquote one of the good ones. They're just grabbing everybody and slamming them in the back of vans. So no matter how you voted, it doesn't matter. They pull out the Family Guy skin chart. And, if you're not Lily White, boom, you were sending you somewhere. And shockingly, this has earned the disapproval of non-whites. Weirdly, strangely.
Yeah, don't they know who their betters are?
Yeah, how dare you? How dare you? It really blows my mind the way these people deal with these things. You'll see the videos of some family, someone who's been in America for like 30 years gets grabbed by ICE and it's total bullshit. And it's like, they came here when they were 5. What the fuck? Like their parents brought them over. And then I'll just see all these QAnon supporters being like, sucks, but they all gotta go. And it's just, you think this is a winning message in the midterms to the voters is, yeah, I'm sorry that 45-year-old lady got grabbed and is now being sent to her home country, which is not her home country because she was there when she was like 8 years old. And she has like three children in America who've now lost their mom. But they all gotta go. So yeah, it's like, okay, great, buddy. But again, these people, because we don't have a shared reality, because no one's living in the real world anymore, everyone in QAnon believes that America is just this rock rib, blood red, Republican loving nation, and the Democrats might get like 20 to 25% of the vote from the freaks and weirdos out there. But then the remaining vote they need to win the election is secured by election fraud. And that's the only way we ever lose, because nothing can sway the American people from their love of Republicans. Not the deportation of family members, not gas rising to astronomical levels, not like a recession that is economically devastating. No, we love Trump and Republicans and we would still vote for them, but those gosh darn Democrats just cheat too hard. Aw, fiddlesticks. Yeah, but just moving back to Virginia for the moment. So that happened. And then Spanberger has done the liberalism, like all this. She basically campaigned as like a normie Dem, and then she won, and she's passed like a minimum wage hike, I believe, and I know she's passed a maternity leave bill that's going to kick into effect in 2029 because you need years to get the money stored up for the maternity bill and all that good stuff. And I've seen people, this is the one. It was, they signed a bill for workers being able to sue their bosses for wage theft.
And, oh yeah, I saw a shitstorm about that one.
Yeah, and that one led to this unbelievably ridiculous post from someone who said, "Oh, those internal polls must be devastating." And then she replied to herself and said, she's ex-CIA and has been what most of Americans call a centrist for most of her career. For her so strongly to side with workers over capitalists like this, she would either need to have a huge change of heart or perceive it politically necessary, which seems more likely. And as people pointed out to this smooth-brained cretin, you can't run for re-election as governor of Virginia. Governor of Virginia is a very weird thing where you can serve multiple terms, but they cannot be consecutive. So once you get in, you're immediately a lame duck. And this is why the media loves the Virginia governor's race as a sort of political bellwether for what's going on in America after the presidential election. Because the presidential election happens, and then 1 year later, you have an open seat governorship in Virginia. And after Biden won in 2020, you had Glenn Youngkin win in 2021 as the governor of Virginia. And everyone's like, ooh, the Republican Party after MAGA. We have a new champion, Glenn Youngkin. He's going to do it. And then Youngkin was pretty not great, and he's nobody now. But that is the nature of the Virginia governorship. And what really happened here was Spanberger ran as a normie lib and then won. And then started passing liberal shit, actually stuff that left-wing people approve of. And the reason why these people have to freak out about it is because if you don't freak out about it and you just look at what happened, you might get the dangerous idea that voting blue, no matter who, could lead to good things. You could get tangible results. This ex-CIA evil centrist became the governor of Virginia, and suddenly good things are happening.
Well, one thing I like about that is it's something I see a lot too, is this idea that politicians are not allowed to change their minds ever about anything. If you have a stance on something, that's your stance until the moment you drop dead. With Larry Bird, was that who? No, not Larry Bird. The senator who used to be in the KKK.
Robert Byrd.
I knew, yeah. Larry Byrd was a basketball player.
Yes.
But But yeah, Robert Byrd, he was a member of the KKK. He was not some made up grand vizier or whatever people claim he was. But then he realized he was wrong. He became a champion of civil rights. The NAACP wrote a tribute to him when he died because he worked so hard on issues of equality. But nope. Joe Biden took a picture once with Robert Byrd. So that means he's a Klansman too. That's it. That man was wearing a white robe, the moment he kicked the bucket. And no one is ever allowed to change their mind ever in politics. People are saying the same thing about Obama when he was telling people to vote yes on the Virginia prop. And they're like, he's spoken out against gerrymandering in the past. I'm like, yeah, well, one, he was talking about gerrymandering in general. This is a very specific case where they're trying to counteract what the Republicans are doing. And two, people aren't allowed to change their minds, especially when they're not in office anymore and don't have to worry about what the voters are going to think about what they're saying.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't get this idea that that if you're in politics, your brain has to remain in stasis.
Yeah, new information cannot lead you to new ideas and new thoughts. You can't change your mind. And the other thing about this that is what really kind of drives me up a wall is that if you're the governor of a state, a lot of the legislation that matters is what's passed by your state Senate and your state House. And I don't know how liberal the Virginia state Congress is, but they're passing these bills, and no governor is going to get into a fist fight with their state Congress about stuff most of the time. I mean, I know I've heard some stuff about in New York about them being at loggerheads about shit, but 9 times out of 10, if you've got a trifecta and the state Congress passes something, the governor's going to sign it. The governor's going to have a happy little speech, and they're going to sign a bill, and they're going to take credit for the work you did, because they're the one that put their name on the piece of paper. So that's how this works.
You're the guy on top takes the heat, but he also gets the credit. That's how it goes.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And in Massachusetts, in my state, our governor will sign the bill, and that's great, and they can take credit for it if they want. But even if they tried to veto it or stop it, they can't, because we have omni majorities in our state houses. So Mitt Romney did 6 line item vetoes, or he vetoed Obamacare, vetoed Romney Care like 6 different times, and they just were like, fuck you. No, we're just going to override your bullshit because you can't stop it. You can't stop this. We want to do this. So it was more accurately Commonwealth Care. But then Romney saw it was being successful, and he's like, oh shit, it's Romney Care, my brilliant idea to fix the healthcare system of Massachusetts.
My own idea that I will run against in 2008.
Right, exactly. Which,
or again, 2012.
Yeah, 2012, whatever, doesn't matter. But yeah, but to me, that will always be... That's always going to be my favorite thing about when talking about how ridiculous our media is and how it's very obvious they put the thumb on the scale on behalf of Donald Trump in this previous election, is that in 2012, literally all our media ever did was, oh, the Republicans were so dumb to run the guy that had over Romney Care when they're trying to fight Obamacare. What dum-dums? Meanwhile, you've got a guy 3 years younger and way more senile than Joe Biden running against Biden. And the media's like, oh my God, Biden's so old and senile. Look at this spry young chicken, Donald Trump. Oh, look at the dance he's doing. Oh, isn't he so much better than the old man that's currently in the White House? Don't you have to vote for that dancing fool? Waka waka. And it's just, oh my God. It's just, we're so back. We're so back, baby. We got our beautiful orange boy back in the White House. Just, God, so ridiculous. So annoyingly depressing. So yeah, that's great.
I'm trying to remember who it was, but I think it was yesterday. Dana Bash was interviewing somebody and was asking if he feels like the rhetoric on the left is what caused this attempt on Trump on Saturday. And just all these people were getting on her about it on Twitter. And she responded to Aaron Rupar when he posted it. He says, if you'd heard earlier in the conversation that's not in this clip, I had called Donald Trump out for blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, so at best you're both sides in it.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. I'm just trying to remember who it was she was interviewing.
Jamie
Raskin. That's who it was. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. She went hard at Raskin, and she was trying to make him admit that you're bad. Admit that you did a bad thing, you bad person.
The man who, I mean, is he still in chemo, or is that all over with?
I haven't heard anything in a while, so I thought
his hair's grown back, so I figured he probably is in remission, or at least not getting radiation treatments anymore.
Yeah. Yuck. Great. Yeah. But boy. So
and,
yeah.
And this is the same Dan Abash that called the first Trump Biden debate a shit show, like on air said the word shit show, and that now she's pretty much bending the knee.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
And by the first one, I mean, you know, the one in 2020, not the 2024 one.
Oh, well, I mean, she had to say that in 2020 because, Biden cleaned his clock.
Yeah.
And we can't have the God Emperor looking bad. I mean, that would just be unacceptable. Yeah. So, that will, wrap it up because I think we're out of gas here. Thank you all for listening. 5-star review wherever you listen. Patreon.com/pokerpolitics. Hook us up with some money. Make me rich. That'd be great. I'd love that. Thanks to DJ Minimal Effort and Frosty for the bumps and the music that I accidentally remixed. Thank you all for listening, and never forget that Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone in the assassination of President Kennedy.